And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the moral and providential will of God. The moral and providential will of God. We might even say the moral versus the providential will of God. Now, this is a very important issue for Christians in the world today because of everything that's going on in Western civilization. You know, they've got the stories here, ongoing stories, about the situation in South Africa. And there was an interview here not long ago with Al Sharpton and some other black leaders, at least one other that I saw, who were talking about President Trump's tweet about the situation there and how he is investigating the seizure of land, white-owned land, for no money. Just the government seizing their land, and also for the white farm murders that are happening down there. And then you had Al Sharpton got on the news and said that these claims that there are farm murders happening is false, that there's no evidence of this, that there's no evidence that white farmers are in particular being targeted. Now, I would encourage you, anybody who hears that, because this is part of what makes the situation so bad for the people in South Africa, is Western media has given a dishonest account of what has gone on there for the last 20 odd years, since the time of Mandela, even before the time of Mandela. The media has operated, really Marxist-controlled media, has operated as a false witness speaking lies about the situation down there. And this is just further proof of it. And for Al Sharpton and others to say that there's no evidence that white farmers are being targeted in particular and this kind of thing. Well, there's even a video now that I've stumbled upon that was produced back in June of this year, posted by HuffPost South Africa, the Huffington Post, which is a notoriously left-wing liberal publication. But even they have a video, a story. It's only about 7 minutes and 22 seconds long. It's not that long. But they acknowledge that, yes, and this is acknowledged by people there who are both white and black in South Africa, because many of the workers on these farms are blacks. And they talk about how they also are being targeted, because when the criminals come in and they want to attack these poor white farmers and kill them, the workers, who are often blacks, if they don't go along with it, then their lives are threatened. And of course, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And so all kinds of people are suffering as a result of this. And they're really using the racial issues to foment hatred and to stir up agitation continually. The reality is, what's going on there, brethren, is this is Christianity versus communism. This is the wickedness, the evil of communism trying to destroy yet another country, another Christian country. And the reason this is important is because the elements that are happening to the people there, and how it's happening, and how it's all been systematic, spread out over decades of time, to bring them to this point where they are now the population of the white farmers and really the people who have built that country for the last 400 years, approximately. Their population has diminished steadily, and now everything that they built and worked for centuries, it appears, could be completely destroyed and wiped out somewhere in the years ahead if something doesn't change. They're on the brink now where the Marxist coalition, operating not just through the ANC, the African National Congress, but also Western media. Western media plays a key role in giving a dishonest account of things there. But I was surprised that HuffPo South Africa actually posted a video, a report on this, and is acknowledging that, yes, they are targeting white farmers. Yes, this is bad for everybody. This is bad for the situation in South Africa overall. This is a terrible situation for the people there. But the chief culprits are those who are in charge of the government because they are fomenting the hatred. And there's no question they're fomenting the attacks and the murders against the white farmers, the Boer, as they're called. And the kill the Boer mentality, kill the white, kill the Boer, that is an ongoing message that is given by government leaders. And it's just a bad situation. It's the only way we can relate to it is we're watching here in America the frenzy that goes on television as we're seeing these race-baiting reporters, really propagandists who pretend that they're doing something called journalism, but they're just propagandists. They're fomenting all of this hatred, stirring up agitation continually. We've seen it magnified many times over while President Trump has been in the White House. But this is the kind of thing, that's the closest thing we can see to it. But see, in our country, it's not nearly as bad because we don't have the degree of violence that they have there. And we're not at this point, at the point of having the government calling for the seizure of the property of all of the people who have so-called white privilege in America. But that's the direction that we're headed. That's the direction, you know, when they're talking about things like, well, by the year 2030 or wherever, whites will be a minority in America. There's a reason they are pointing to that. They're pointing to that because they want to take our country in the direction of South Africa, to turn the core population, the patriot population of America, into a minority by flooding all of these foreigners into our country, building up the foreign population, and then channeling all the political power to them so that they make the decisions which will mean they will systematically annihilate freedom-loving Americans using the same race-baiting tactics that they use in South Africa. That appears to be the plan. So that's why it's important. That's why what is happening in South Africa is very important. And what happened in Rhodesia is very important because the same elements are happening here. And it's why I think it's important that we understand some of these principles. What you have is an immoral government. You have a government that has really forfeit its responsibility to operate as the minister of God. And we're going to talk about some of the elements of this. And this is from an article sent to me by Pastor Greg Price, who's a friend of our ministry, wonderful Christian teacher with Stillwaters Revival. Stillwaters Revival Books. Pastor Greg has got just great articles on civil government and resistance, the Covenanters, the Covenanted Reformation. And, you know, he and I have had a number of conversations about the Puritans and Cromwell and the English Civil War and all this stuff that really laid the foundation. And it's all based upon the biblical principle that we ought to obey God rather than men. That's what it all comes down to. And what does that mean for us as Christians living in the world today? What does that mean? How does that translate? And I think it's important to go back and examine what our Christian forefathers believed. Well, one of the arguments that I've come across here from an article written by Pastor Greg Price is this concept of God's moral, his moral will, sometimes called the preceptive will of God, versus the providential will of God. Okay, so the moral will or the preceptive will is God's declared will through the scriptures. Okay, where God makes clear commandments about what his will is. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, etc. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's God's moral will, his preceptive will, it's called. Then there is God's providential will. Providential will appears to be that which God has provided by circumstance. The circumstances that God has allowed to happen. So, for example, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you have the situation with Rashach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, they're in Nebuchadnezzar, or they're in Babylon in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and King Nebuchadnezzar, he erects the statue, and he wants them to bow down to the statue, and they've got to bow down and start worshiping the statue, because he, the king, has commanded it. So God's providential will is that he has provided this situation for them, whereby the king, who was provided by God, has now issued this command. The problem is that the king's command is contrary to the moral will or the preceptive will of God, God's openly stated morality. Because God says, I am the Lord thy God, ye shall have no other gods before me. And so Rashach, Meshach, and Abednego, rightly, they did not consider God's providential will as somehow or other overriding his moral will, the moral code, the moral law that he had given. And so they recognize they've got to keep God's moral law despite the fact that it is, in fact, the Lord who brought them into this situation. And I'm going to read some quotes here from history to kind of help us understand this further and navigate it, because I think it's a very, very important principle, because it pertains directly to what happens with Romans chapter 13 and what happened, for example, in Nazi Germany, where people would obey Hitler and the Nazi government thinking, okay, well, the Bible says we're supposed to obey the government, so they go, and this is the government God has provided, because Romans 13 says there's no higher power but of God. So this is the government God has provided, Herr Hitler, etc. So we have to obey whatever Herr Hitler tells us to do. That was the thinking for many people in Germany, but that's not necessarily the case. And this is something that the reformers talked about centuries before, understanding the difference between God's providential will versus his moral will. And we're going to read some from this article here when we get back from the break. But another example I think of is think about Nazi Germany, what went on during Nazi Germany when you had Jewish people who were being persecuted by the Nazi government, and there were Christians in certain cases, who gave protection and gave a hiding place and so on to Jewish people, Jewish families and so on, to protect them from being harmed. So they understood, whether they defined it this way or not, they understood the difference between God's providential will, the fact that this was the government that was provided, versus God's preceptive will or his moral will, which forbids anyone, including the powers of government, to be guilty of murder. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. You know, before we went to the break, I was talking about Nazi Germany and using that as an example. I went to see the film. I need to do a show on this, Operation Finale, which is a true story, based on a true story, about the capture of Adolf Eichmann, who was one of the most notorious Nazis during the war, because he was in charge. He was the overseer of the Final Solution program. And the film is about an operation. I've known about this for years, that Eichmann, like many Nazis, he escaped Europe after the war, went down to Argentina. And the Israeli Secret Service basically tracked him down and they kidnapped him. It's a very interesting story how it all happened. They sent their agents down there. They abduct Eichmann, bring him back to Israel, where he stands trial for the atrocities that he committed against Jewish people during the war. And he was ultimately condemned and then executed. He was hanged. And the story really is fascinating. I thought for years they should have made that into a film. And apparently they did. I think there are other representations of it as well. But this one stars Ben Kingsley as Adolf Eichmann, and they did a great job with this film in particular, I thought, overall, because it reminded me of the classic golden age of Hollywood when they told good stories and you weren't watching something that you had to, you know, cover your eyes and wince at and that kind of thing, because it's a historic drama, well told, and it's one I think you could go see without having to worry about what you're going to be watching. But it's a fascinating a piece of history from post-World War II. But a classic example of what we're talking about, about the perceptive will of God and the providential will of God. All right, let's read from this article that begins by talking about the Westminster Confession of Faith. The Westminster Confession of Faith of 1647, acknowledged by many to be the most precise and faithful creed of Orthodox Christianity, specifically states that only lawful civil power is not to be resisted as the ordinance of God. Now, this is a reference to Romans 13. Romans 13. So the article goes on and says, quote, "Thus it follows from this entire assembly of Reformed divines who met over a period of 5 years, that since only lawful civil power is the ordinance of God, then only lawful civil magistracy is to be submitted to for conscience sake and honored as the minister of God to thee for good. The Reformed divines of the Westminster Assembly manifestly acknowledged a necessary distinction between lawful and unlawful magistracy." Okay? In other words, a lawful magistrate versus one who is unlawful. And they maintained, and this argument gets really fascinating when you begin to see all of the biblical examples that were pointed out. I mean, it's why I love the Reformers and the Puritans. They really considered the details of scriptures in ways that I think our generation in the modern church, we just don't have the depth of understanding that they did. That's my opinion. But anyway, so here's a quote from it. "And because the powers which God hath ordained and the liberty which Christ hath purchased are not intended by God to destroy, but mutually to uphold and preserve one another, they who, upon pretense of Christian liberty, shall oppose any lawful power, or the lawful exercise of it, whether it be civil or ecclesiastical, resist the ordinance of God." So, again, making a reference to Romans chapter 13. The next point says, quote, "The ordinance of God, Romans 13, 2, is not equivalent to every civil authority that God in his providence places upon a throne. That which God directs in history by his providence is not necessarily that which he orders by his moral precepts." And that's where they get the idea, moral precepts, that's where they get preceptive will. Preceptive will, that which God has openly declared in his commandments versus his providential will, that which he's provided by circumstance. So that which he orders by his moral precepts, and it is by his moral precepts that civil magistracy is instituted. Therefore, it must be maintained that the ordinance of God is determined by the moral and revealed will of God rather than by his providential will. Okay? This gets really fascinating. Really, really fascinating, you guys. The moral will. Let's go to Romans 13 real quick, just so we've got our references here. Okay? Because Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." So what they're referring to here is what is the ordinance of God. And they're arguing that the only ordinance of God that comes from God is an ordinance that is according to his commandments. That's according to God's law. It is not a man-made standard that is in violation of God's law. That's basically what they're saying. So then it goes on. The argument goes on. And it says, "For if there is no distinction established between God's moral will and God's providential will in determining who is the ordinance of God, the following errors will certainly result. And then they give this whole list of errors, and we're probably going to have to break this up into two shows because there are many of them. So they're saying that you have to make a distinction between God's moral will and God's providential will. What he stated in his commandments versus the circumstances that he has allowed to happen. For example, what he stated about law and order versus the fact that he allowed Hitler and Nazi Germany to take control during World War II. What his stated commandments are versus the fact that he allowed Joseph Stalin and communism in the Soviet Union to happen in Russia. And so what our forefathers believed is you have to understand the distinction one from another because they were dealing with those issues. They were dealing with tyrannical kings and ministers. And of course, the kings and ministers and the popes and so on were arguing from Romans 13 that you have to obey them no matter what. And so they went into the scriptures and they began to examine all the details of it. And they said, well, wait a minute. You know, we've got to obey the based upon the circumstances and the many examples that are given in the scripture. They said, well, this is only if a king, a prince, a ruler is operating according to the ordinances of God, the commandments of God. Not if they are following that which is wicked or evil or in rebellion to God. And so they saw, as we're going to see, probably going to have to roll this over into another program, but from the many examples that are given in Scripture of God's people resisting lawless authorities in government and refusing to cooperate with them in a variety of circumstances, according to the Bible, they saw that there was a distinction that was made and that had to be upheld in order to be faithful to God and his commands where government is concerned. All right, brethren, we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap it up there, and we will continue this discussion in our next program. Until next time, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.